Being Yeshayahu, and I see some of you have peeked and looked ahead. Chapter 3 is going to be a description of the absolute absence of leadership by the Jewish people. We may even be able to understand what Yeshayahu is talking about. It follows. Huh? We've never experienced, but maybe if we try hard, we'll be able to understand what it is that Yeshayahu was talking about. The absolute absence of any form of leadership, and Rashi begins by telling us, and that's really the Gemara that you have in front of you, that I hope we will get to. If you'll take a look at that Gemara, you see where it's underlined, Ki Oto Rabdimi, Omar, when Rabdimi came, he said, Shmona Esrei Klalot Kilel Yeshayahu et Yisrael, 18 curses Yeshayahu cursed Israel, Velonit Karedad Da'ato, and he did not feel sort of at peace or at rest, Ad Sha'om Alehem Amikra Hazeh, until he said the following pasuk, which we will get to, Yirhavu Hana'ar Bazakein. The young are going to rule and lord over the elders. V'hanikla banichbad. Nikla is a lightweight, but nikla means more than a lightweight. A person of no consequence is the one who is going to rule over the one who is truly a man of honor and dignity. Now, it really follows on the heels of chapter 2. In chapter 2, Yeshayahu established a theme that we're going to see it repeated time and time again, really throughout the first half of the Sefer. We're even going to find it in certain places in the second half of the Sefer. And that is the arrogance and the conceit of power, of wealth, and that the man has to realize that he stands before the awesome God, and that man has no right to be conceited to the point where he feels that he is the repository of all truth. He knows everything, and he is the one who's going to resolve all of the world's problems himself. Conceit. We're going to have it later on in chapter 13 and 14 when he talks about Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar. Ani va'afsi od. It's me, and aside from me, there's no one else. Nebuchadnezzar is going to say, I'm going to be like a cloud. I'm going to ride on high over the world. Paro is the one whom Yechezkel says, he said, Li Yaori, my river is mine, Vani Asisini, I made it. All power, all strength, all wisdom lies with the leadership, in quotation marks, not only of the Jewish people, but also of the nations of the world. And that arrogance of power, that arrogance, is a destructive force. In this chapter, there are going to be 18 curses. 18 curses that Yeshayahu will curse. Now, that's a very difficult expression that the Gemara says. Very difficult to say that Yeshayahu, who is a great Ohev Yisrael, he's a lover of Israel, he's not. We can't understand the word curse as though, yes, he's cursing. What he's saying is, such is what is going to happen. You will be cursed, and I can see it now, prophetically, that this is what's going to happen. Of all things, this morning in the middle of davening in Kehilat Zichron Yosef, I opened up a Sefer, and I open up to the Sefer that's talking about this Gemara, and he says, what do you mean, Yeshayahu cursed Jewish people? What are you talking about? How can you say that? So he says that, you know what, you're going to like this. What do the 18 curses represent? He says that the Golus is going to last 1900 years. The 18 represent 1800 years. And the lowest depths are going to be reached in the 1900 from the Churban. We are in the 19th century from the Churban. And what's going to happen, this is a sefer that was written about 100 years ago, 200 years ago. I didn't even look in the front page. I have it, Orach Meishavim, I'll have to take a look. And he says, in the 19th century from the Churban, which is the century, the Jewish century in which we live, we will reach the depths of no leadership whatsoever. And people who are simply incapable of leading, don't have the intelligence to lead, are the ones who are going to rule over those who indeed have the intelligence and the intellect and the courage to lead. So he says it's not klola, it's not a curse, but what he's saying is that's going to be the story. The story is that over a period of 1900 years, the level of leadership is going to diminish by the Jewish people until we reach the pits. There's only one great advantage of being in the pits. From there, it's got to go up. So let's hope and pray, that we're mamish in the pits now.
How far is the
19th? Huh? What?
How far is the
19th? He doesn't say that. You want some sefer to give you precise date, hour, minute, and second. Not a chance in the world. We're in the 5,000, not in the 20th.
5,000.
I'm talking from the Churban. From the Churban, we're already past the 19th. So it's.
I want to know. I'm looking for tikva here.
You're looking for tikva. In other words, I'm telling you, it can't get much worse. That's enough. That's the word. That's my word. So say it. It can't get much worse. All right. Let's read the chapter. We have to see how the Malbim looks at it and how the Gemara looks at it. Ki hineha Adon Hashem Tzvakot, the Master, the God of Hosts, Meisir Yerushalayim Umi Yehuda, is going to remove from Yerushalayim and from Yehuda Mash'ein U'Mash'eina. Mash'ein means somebody to lean on. Somebody to lean on. Mash'ein U'Mash'eina. For this chapter, we're going to need some English translation. So therefore, I brought my arts for Old English. The support of men and support of women. This is how they translate it. That's not the way the Malbim translates it. The Malbim translates it. Mash'ein is a major source of support, and Mash'eina is of a lesser degree of support. Neither support of major significance, nor support of lesser significance. Everything is going to be gone. Kol mish'an lechem, v'chol mish'an mayim. And the Malbim therefore explains, mish'an lechem, the one who supports with bread, is obviously much more significant than the one who supports with water. Water is more readily available than bread. So mish'an lechem, support of bread, no, it means, what he's talking about is there will be an economic crisis. That's really what he's talking about. Bread and water. Kol mishan lechem v'chol mishan mayim. There will neither be gibor, hero, ish milchama, nor man of war, nor shofet, judge, navi, prophet, kosein. Now kosein can be understood in a negative or a positive way. Kosen usually is somebody who practices the art of magic. But Rashi, interestingly enough, Rashi says that a kosen is a king. And why does he say that kosen is king? He bases it on a pasuk. Kesem al siftei melech. There is a certain magic. A certain magic that the lips of a king have. Kosein is a king. V'zakein, and an elder, and when we talk about elder, we mean one who has great wisdom. There will not be sar hamishim, an officer over 50s, onusu fanim, a person who is respected. Yo'eids, somebody who can give good advice. The Chacham Charoshim. Now the word Charoshim can have a number of meanings. Basically, Charoshim means silence. Chacham, it can mean silence, and it can also mean deep thought. That's also in the negative sense. It appears in Mishlei, Choresh al Ve'ehu Ra'ah, the one who plans evil against his friend. Chacham Charoshim means a person whose wisdom is in his deep thought, his ability to think and think clearly. Or, Rashi says, it means, and that we'll see in the Gemara, that means somebody whose wisdom in Torah is such that he silences all before him. When he speaks, everybody remains silent. Unevon Lachash, somebody who understands the secrets of Torah. These are all going to be removed. In these three psukim, we've described the forms of leadership that simply will cease to exist by the Jewish people. And you know what's going to happen? V'nasati ne'orim sareihem. I will make ne'orim will be their ministers. Rashi explains, ne'orim, people who are empty of mitzvahs. L'na'er means, you know, to empty or to cleanse something. And it also means, it can simply be understood as people whose thinking, immature, that's very good. Immature. V'ta'alulim yimshilubam. Ta'alulim. So, interestingly, that Rashi really explains it from the Aramaic. A ta'ala in Aramaic is a fox. A shu'ol is a fox. Foxes are the ones that are going to rule over them. And foxes means people who are weak. That's what Rashi says. B'nei odom chaloshim. People who are weak. Don't have the courage to take strong action. V'ani omer, I'm reading Rashi. Rashi says, Ta'alulim also comes, and this you will recognize from our first shir. V'ani omer l'fi pshuto, Ta'alulim. People who are, well, either jokers, or they are a joke.
Clowns.
Very good. Boy, very good. Clowns. Isn't that what we learned in chapter 28? You remember we learned that, Leitzonim Moshleham Ashev Yerushalayim, clowns who rule over the Jewish people in Yerushalayim. Rashi says also further, clowns who make fun and mock and treat with contempt the Jewish people. To treat the opposition with absolute contempt. To treat their people, the ones over whom they rule, with absolute contempt. And here it goes back to the chapter before. In what way do they demonstrate their contempt? They know what's best for the people, and the people simply don't know what's best for them. They know, and therefore they are going to impose upon the people their will. V'nigas ha'om, ish b'ish, v'ish b'reyehu. And there will be oppression amongst the people. One man against another, man against his friend, they will oppress one another. And here comes the finale. This is the finale. Yidhavu hanar bazakein v'hanikle b'nichvad. Yidhavu, the young are going to act with conceit against the elders. We have this word, I think we once learned, we'll get to it again, in chapter 30 and 31, Mitzrayim is referred to as Rahav. Rahav is absolute buffoonery, a conceit of such proportions that, the young, they know better than the elders. They know the answers to all of the great questions. V'hanikla v'nichbad. Nikla means the one who's really very, very lightweight. By the way, the word kavod, honor, comes from the word kaved, heavy. And the reason why it comes from the word kaved, because honor has to weigh heavily upon a person. If he is honored, then he has a responsibility. He has a responsibility to respond in kind. It means that upon his shoulders, the person who is honored, upon his shoulders lies a greater degree of responsibility. And the Nikla, the one who is the lightweight, like, he carries no responsibility. He can do whatever he wants and he can say whatever he wants. This is the point at which Yeshayahu ends his 18 klalot, so to speak, the 18 curses. So we really learned Pshuta Shel Mikra, except for one thing. I want to tell you, and that is the way the Malbim, reads it all. The Malbim reads it that there are going to be forms of leadership, kinds of leadership or assistance that the people need that are going to be absent. One, people with economic wealth. That was Mash'en Lechem, Mish'an Lechem, and Mish'an Mayim. The lack of, without a functioning economy, a country simply cannot exist. How many times have we mentioned Rav Kook, who said that the Jewish national home is going to have two komot, it's going to have two stories. Va'olich etchem, God says, I will bring you komim miyut, standing upright and tall. Komim miyut, there are going to be two komot. Komat karka, the bottom floor, and above it there is the komat aliyah, the top floor. The komat karka is the economy. You can't, a country cannot live in the luften. You can't live on spirituality alone. There has to be a solid, strong, thriving economy. That's the Komat Karka. On top of that, you can build the Komat Aliyah, which is to rise to great, to spiritual greatness.
And to bring people.
And bring people here. Yeah, of course. I'm always on an Aliyah binge. I say it whenever I go to Chutz Laretz. Yes.
It's very simple. In Ein
Kemach, Ein Korach. She's right. In Ein Kemach, she said, Ein Korach. That's right. So that's why I believe Yeshayahu says the beginning of the end is going to be when there's no Mishan Lechem and no Mishan Mayim. If there's no economy, then perforce what's going to happen is that the Commonwealth or the state is going to crumble. And as I pointed out, he also says Mash'ein u'mash'eina. He understands it as being a support of great significance and support of lesser significance. So first of all, there's going to be a problem with the economy. The second is for a country to survive, they need people who will be able to stand up against Oyev Chitzoni, an enemy from without. The economy speaks of the strength from within, but you need people who are going to be able to stand up to a threat from without. That is Gibor the Ish Milchama. Gibor is the hero. The Ish Milchama is the good soldier. The Gibor is the Congressional Medal of Honor winner. And the Ish Milchama is the good soldier. So one is the Mash'ein, and the other is the Mash'ena. They're not going to have the people who will be able to protect them from the enemy who comes from without. But then in addition to protection from the enemy without, you need protection from the enemy within. You need shofet. There has to be justice. There has to be somebody who's going to regulate the relationship between man and fellow man. Which means the first thing in the pasuk he's talking about the relationship, so to speak, between Klal Yisrael and enemies from without. Then he moves within. Shofet, you need Shofet. The Shofet and the Navi. What's the difference between the Shofet and the Navi? In a sense, the Shofet is the one who regulates the relationship between man and fellow man. The Navi is the one who in a sense, inspires the person to a greater and intenser relationship between man and God. That will be lacking. Shofet and Navi. And then there's the after Shofet and Navi, so there will neither be Shofet nor will be there will be Navi, and then Kosein. Kosein, he says, yeah, he learns that Kosein means somebody who is able to foretell the future. There are times at which we desperately need the exact century, the exact year, the exact hour, and the we desperately need. She's not listening. Yeah, she heard it. Okay. We need a Kosein. We need a Kosein. And then we need, huh?
Couldn't it also mean somebody with foresight?
Not couldn't it also mean? I think that that's precisely what it means. I don't think that that he's talking about somebody who's going to make an abracadabra and you know, a witch's brew. Huh? Ro'eh tanolat. Bidiyuk. You're very good today, all of you. Kosei means somebody who has enav berosho and can see what is going to happen. I mean, as we've talked about a number of times, there are people who are able to predict. Not because they have any kind of great powers, but they're able to predict simply by taking a look at the situation and analyzing it. And they can tell you what it's going to lead to. And we were right. We told them so. Okay. And then, even if there is justice, but you need people who are going to carry out the responsibilities of justice. You need Sar Hamishim. Sar Hamishim means the one, say, a strong police force. You need a strong police force. You need, in other words, a society needs certain officials who are going to look after that society. A Sar Hamishim. Nesu Panim. Nesu Panim means a person who may not hold any official office, but his very bearing is one that commands respect. A healthy society needs people like that. People you look up to. People whose word means something. People who we listen to. If you don't have that, Yoetz, you need good advisors. You need good advisors. And Chacham Choroshim, he of course learns it, meaning yes, people, think tanks. Chacham Choroshim are think tanks. People who will be able to, yes, anticipate what step will lead to the next. Unavon, Lachash, and people who know secrets. But that will no longer exist, and therefore the Nosati Na'arim Sadeim, the Ta'alulim, Yimshulu Bambi. The clowns are going to rule. Let's run through the Gemara. It's not the whole Gemara, just a few lines in the Gemara.
Rabbi, is it not just his generation? I mean, as much as we're fine with today, I mean, does he make basically
saying so you should know that there is a difference of opinion at the beginning in the last chapter, and we're going to have it in the chapters to come. It says, V'hoya b'yom ha'hu, and it shall come to pass on that day. Or it says, V'hoya b'acharit ha'yamim, it will be at the end of days. So there is a machloket. What does b'yom ha'hu mean, that day? What does b'acharit ha'yamim, the end of days, mean? There are some who say, b'yom ha'hu means the day of great judgment. B'acharit ha'yamim means the end of time, Mashiach. But then there are many of the Mefarshim who say that he is talking about events in his days. You know, listen, Klal Yisrael is going to fall before the invading forces of Babel because all leadership is lost. They don't have people who can stand up against the onslaught of Babel. It's going to repeat itself again in the days of the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire. And in each case, it's going to be the same. Without leadership, without strong leadership, we're simply going to fall apart from within. So that what Yeshayahu is saying is, number one, speaking specifically to his people about a period of time that is drawing near. But at the same time, what he's really saying is, you're going to make the same mistake over and over and over again. It's going to happen again and again. So that whatever he's describing is going to happen now is something that will happen later as well. So therefore, he's talking about something specific. But the meaning of what he says that is so specific extends throughout throughout history until the great Bayom Ha'u. He's talking right now about the period leading up to the time of Chizkiyahu, following the time of Chizkiyahu. Even in the days of Chizkiyahu himself, there's going to be a chapter 22 that's going to talk about the city surrounded by the forces then of Assyria. Sancheret Melech Ashur has surrounded the city. And you know what's going on in the city? In the city, and Gemara describes it, in the city there's somebody by the name of Shevna who wants to make peace with the Assyrians. And the price he's ready to pay is to open the gates of Yerushalayim and give them Yerushalayim. And Chizkiyahu is opposed to it. But Chizkiyahu is beginning to lose that strength within him, because he thinks, he knows that he is in the minority. The majority, the latest poll in Yerushalayim, as the city is surrounded by Sancheret, is most probably 98% of those who voted for Barak said give the city to Assyria. But it's already about 67% of those who voted for Netanyahu say to give the city. And Chizkiyahu turns to the Rebbeinu and he says, I don't know, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? The majority of Jews in the city want the city to be given over into the hands of the enemy. So Yeshayahu in chapter 22 is going to say, Al Tom Ruf Kesha, don't be concerned about the bomb that has been, or the rebellion of this people. It's not always the majority who's right. Sometimes, of course, it's the minority who's absolutely right, and the majority are dead wrong. So he says, don't worry. The city is not going to be given into the hands of Assyria. Sancheret Melech Ashur is not going to shoot an arrow against it. So what's happening in the city? In the city at the time, it means there's no leadership. Who are the leaders? The leader is some two-bit politico, you understand, who most probably in his youth, he was the one who swept the floors in the local Mapai headquarters. And he's now Shevna. He's the one who wants to give the city over to Assyria. And the way the Navi in that chapter 22, the way he's going to talk about this Shevna, God says to Malachapo, Milachapo, who are you? Who are you? Who made you a leader? And it seems that he had looked forward to great moments. He had purchased a burial plot near the kings of Yehuda. He saw himself, he was a clown, and he saw himself as a great leader. The end, of course, is that he's going to need a burial plot quickly, but he's not going to have the one that he purchased for himself there. No, so we're talking about a period of time that's close to Yeshayahu. There will be a loss of leadership in the city of Yerushalayim. There is a great king there, but they don't recognize the greatness of the king until, of course, the forces of Sancheret are miraculously going to be destroyed around the city. But everything he says over here, I mean, unfortunately, never. Let's see what the Gemara says. Kiyosar Rabdini. When Rabdini came, he said the following. Shmon Esrei Klolos Kila Yeshayahu Es Yisrael. There are 18 curses that Yeshayahu cursed Israel from Nitkarera Dato. That's a very fascinating term. Nitkarera Dato, if you want to translate it literally, until his mind became cold or cool. In other words, he was full of anger, And, you know, you get all heated up when you're angry, and then he cooled off and calmed down. Until he said this pasuk, Yidhavu hanar bazakein, the young are going to rule over the old, v'hanikla, and the lightweight over the respected person. Shmona esve klolos ma'amihu, what are the 18 klalot? And here, what are the ma'amihu, what are these 18? Dichtiv. And now the Gemara is going to go through the psukim that we've learned and is going to define each one of them. Now remember, we have learned pshuto shel mikra, and the Gemara is going to take a deeper look. Dichtiv, because it says ki yinei ha'adon Hashem tzvakot, the Master, the God of Hosts, meisim Yerushalayim Yehuda, he's going to remove from Yerushalayim and from Yehuda mashenu mashena kol nishan lecha v'chol nishan mayim kibor v'nish mechama shofet v'novi v'kosin v'zakein, all of the psukim, the Gemara has them all. All right? Okay, so now. Yeah. Well, look, the Gemara is going to count them out. The Gemara says, Mash'ain, Elu Bale Mikra. Mash'ain, somebody to lean on, Elu Bale Mikra, those who know Tanakh. Mash'ena, Elu Ba'alei Mishnah, those who know Torah Sheba Alpeh. Kikon Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, those who know Mishnah, the Chaverah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema and his colleagues. Pligu Barach Papa Rabbanon. There's a machloket between our Papa and the Rabbanon. Chad Ova once said, Sheish Meot Sidrei Mishnah, the Chad Ova Shva Meot Sidrei Mishnah. We have six orders of the Mishnah. In the days of those great people, there were either 600 or 700 orders of the Mishnah. The Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral law, was so much broader, and so that means, what's the Gemara telling us? That Mash'ein u'Mash'ena, spiritual leadership, is going to go first. Then it goes on to say, Kol Nishan Lechem, bread, you know what, the bread is Elu Bale Talmud, those who know Gemara. Shenema, Lechu Lachamu B'Lachmi, Ushtu Bayayin Masachti, this is a pasuk in Mishlei. B'Shlom HaMelech is speaking in the name of Torah, and Torah says, eat my bread and drink the wine that I have prepared. Because the wine and the bread of the Jewish people is Torah. So, no bread. B'chol nishamayim, elu balei agada. That's beautiful. The one who gives support with water. Do you know what water is in the world of Torah? Well, first of all, of course, the Talmud is referred to as the Yam HaTalmud, the sea of Talmudic study. But Mayim means even more. Elu Balei Agada. Balei Agada, those who are able to explain the Agadic portions of Torah. Why is Agada referred to as Mayim? Because they draw the hearts of people just as water flows. So, you like to hear a good verb. A beautiful statement of our rabbis explained in a way that clarifies it. So he says, Elu Balei Agada Shemoshu Libo Shel Adam Kamayin Ba'Agada. They draw the hearts of people like water through their agadic interpretations.
That's what you should have said.
When should I have said it?
The Be'er.
The Be'er. You're right. The Be'er. Well, there was a lot more, because remember, there's a pasuk later on in Yeshayahu, Hoy kol tzomei l'chu l'mayim. Oh, all those who are thirsty, go to water. Obviously, you have to tell somebody who's thirsty to go to water. So, of course, the Gemara says, Hoy kol tzomei, the one who's thirsty for spiritual growth, go to water. Ve'ein mayim ela Torah. Mayim is, water is Torah. What's the pasuk that they bring, that water is Torah? So I don't remember that. But then the Gemara also says something that relates here. Water goes from a high place to a low place. It flows down. So the Gemara said, I want to say the Gemara, you know. So the Gemara says that the only one who can truly become a scholar of Torah is the one who flows downward in the sense that he is humble and is not conceited. If he knows his own level, I'll use your terminology, or seeks his own level. Gibor is a Baal Shmuas. Gibor, a mighty one, is Baal Shmuot, is the one who has received from his Rabbein Shmuot that which he has heard, and he transmits from one generation to the next. The Ish Milchama, man of war, and this the Gemara uses often. War means the one who is able to engage in the give and take, the struggle of Torah. The study of Torah is a war. It can be a war between Abaye and Chaver, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva, and through the struggle, the opinions that clash, and where there's a real search for truth, ultimately one is able to achieve truth. So he says, Ishmael, come on, man of war, Zeshiyodea, Lisa, Velitan, Bimimcham, Tashal Torah, the one who knows how to negotiate. Don't like those words, but Lisa, Velitan, Bimimcham, Tashal Torah, the one who knows how to negotiate the battle of war. Shofet, Zedarian, as a judge, Shedon, Din, Emes, Lahamito. This is a fascinating term that is used a few places in Shas. A judge, Shedon, Din, Emes, that judges truth. La'amito. I mean, don't we expect that every judge should be the one that judges la'amito? So it doesn't always happen. The fact is, it doesn't always happen. And not all judges are capable of truly reaching the truth. The Gemara explains it from a halakhic point of view, that sometimes a case comes before a judge, and you know, he hears the evidence, and he sees the evidence, and he hears both sides, and on the basis of what's said, he can arrive at a conclusion. But then again, there may be something in the back of his mind that he's just not certain. There's something he can't put his finger on it. He can't put his finger on it, but there's something that's missing over here, or something that arouses suspicion, but if you'd ask him what it is, he couldn't tell you. Don din emes la'amito means the one who is able to investigate to the point that if his suspicion is aroused that there may be some kind of there may be something going on over here that he is unaware of, and is able to overcome that, and that's really achieving truth. Because Shofet can be a Shofet. Listen, I heard the evidence, and that's it. You know, I'm really no Chassid of Aryeh Deri, you can be sure of that. But if it's true that the main witness, if it's all true, I mean, I don't know, but if it's true that the main witness upon whom the court based its conviction is Taka a Shvindler, a Gunisht, a guy who's, you know, you wouldn't lend him $5. I mean, that's a... So, you know, from the point of view of justice, we have a witness who swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and I heard his testimony, and his testimony is very convincing, and that's it. Finished. Shaykh and Paskin. I have a witness. But then again, what happens if there's some kind of a doubt there? Is this fellow really what he seems to be? I mean, he's been involved in all sorts of underworld kind of shtick. I mean, can I really trust what he says? There already, it's a matter of being done din emes lamito to be able to remove any kind of suspicion or doubt. And that's not simple. So therefore, when the Navi is talking about a shofet, we're talking about a shofet that's done din emes la'amito. Furthermore, it says, where are we? Navi kimashmo. Navi? Gemara says, that's exactly what it means. A Navi is a Navi is a Navi. Kosein zemelech. This is what the Rashi brought. Kosefes Melech Shenema Kesem Al Sifte Melech. There's a certain magic upon the lips of a king. It means, therefore, I believe it means that a king has to be graced with the gift of language. The gift of language is something that can assuage the fears of people. You have to be able to speak to the people. Kesem al siftei melech. Zaken ze sheroi li yeshiva. Zaken means one that's roi li yeshiva, and Rashi explains on the Gemara over here, roi li yeshiva means the kind of person from whom you can ask advice in any area of human wisdom. Sar Hamishim, al tikri sar Hamishim, elasar chumshin. You know, Chamishim, don't read it. Chamishim ela chumshin, from Chamisha chumshin Torah. Zesh yodeh lisa v'litim the Chamisha chumshin Torah, a person who knows how to negotiate and discuss intelligently Chamisha chumshin Torah. Davracha, another pshat sar Chamishim, kid Rabbi Avu, like Rabbi Avu said, Dom Rabbi Avu, mikam, sheim amidin miturgman al atzivu pokos micha, me Chamishim shona. There was a Turgamon. A Turgamon was the one who would transmit the words of the God will be Yisrael or the Rosh Yeshiva to the people. In a sense, it may be something like a Dover HaLishkah today, you know, the spokesman for an office. Then it was of a more formal thing. There were no loudspeakers. The Meturgaman was a loud speaker. Abaya or Rava would say what he wants to say to the Meturgaman, and the Meturgaman would then say it loud so that everybody should hear it. Now, Turgaman, they said, was only if the Shir had 50 people or more, then you had a Turgaman. And the Meturgaman had to be a very intelligent person. Because if he does not transmit it precisely and correctly, you know, terrible mistake. He doesn't use the right words. He may very, very well create all sorts of confusion. Unsupanim zeshenosin panim ledoro ba'avuro lemala kigon Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa lemata kigon Rabbi Avu be'kesa. Oh, the supanim is powerful. The supanim is a person that God turns his face and looks with favor upon the entire generation. Because of this man. And the Gemara gives one example. The example of Chanina ben Dosa. Chanina ben Dosa was one of the great tzaddikim of the Tanaitic period. The Gemara says about Rav Chanina ben Dosa, Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, my son Chanina, a basket of butter is enough for him from one Erev Shabbos to the next. The Gemara says all sorts of things about him. He was very poor, and his wife saw that they were going to have a golden tish in Himmel, they were going to have a golden table in heaven. So he says, listen, let's get a little part of the gold from heaven. It has four legs, so get one golden leg and we'll be able to survive. So he prayed and was presented with a golden leg. Then she had a dream, and she saw all the other tzaddikim are sitting with tables with four lights, and she's got a rickety table over there. So she said, send it back, return to sender. So he prayed, and from heaven they took back the. Moore also tells a famous story. This is a powerful story, that one Erev Shabbos there was no, she didn't have oil. They used to light the Shabbos candles with oil. There was no oil. The only thing that they had in the house was vinegar. So Rav Chanina ben Dosa said, Mishom al Hashem v'yadlit, Yom al Chometz v'yadlit. The same God who said that oil should have the properties with which it can burn, he can also make vinegar burn. And the vinegar burn. What it means, of course, is the following. When one reaches the stage, the piety of Chanina ben Dosa, there is really nothing that separates Nes and Teva, miracle and nature. By him, all of nature is miracle. when you reach the point that all of nature is miracle, it really makes no difference whether it's oil or it's vinegar. In other words, for us lower human beings than Hanina ben Dosa, we are always tested. Will we see the divine properties in objects or in events? Will we see it? Or won't we see it? We're always being tested. But if Hanina ben Dosa, you reach a point where you've passed all the tests already. He sees everything as a result of the divine will. And once he sees everything as a divine will, so then miracles happen to him. Why do miracles happen? Because what would happen if we would be showered with miracles? Showering miracles upon us would really limit our ability to choose. I mean, if I see God staring me in the face day in and day out, I lose the ability to have free will. I can't have a will different from that of God. God is there upon me all the time. So therefore, God runs a world that seems to be natural, so to speak. And then I'm being tested all the time. Do I see the divine presence or don't I see the divine presence? But somebody who already has reached the point where everything is divinity, so there's no point in testing it. So therefore, the vinegar can also burn, because the fact that a miracle is imposed upon him is not going to make any difference whatsoever. It's not going to rob him of his free will. He has already voluntarily given up his free will to God. Lemala kigon Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, lemato kigon Rabbi Avuhu Bei Kesa. The Gemara says Rabbi Avuhu was very respected by Caesars of Rome. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was respected in heaven, and Rabbi Avuhu was respected by great people upon this earth. So those are the Nesu Panim. Those are Nesu Panim. Yoetz. And this is also brought Rashi. Rashi's Perush over here is based on the Gemara. Yoetz, one who gives counsel, Shiodei la'aber shonim v'lifvoa chadoshim, who knows when a year should be made a leap year and when to establish the new moon. The Chacham, the Talmud HaMachkim, as Rabboto, a Chacham is a student. I imagine here is where the term Talmud Chacham comes from, because the Chacham is really a student who makes his teachers wise. Chacham means not only that he's wise, he makes others wise. A good Akasha. The challenge of a student. Chroshim, this we also said already, Shosha Poter V'Divrei Torah, one who was so wise that when he opens his mouth with the words of Torah, Kol Nasim Kecherishim, everybody remains silent. Unevon, Zehameidin Dovim Yitahodava, the one who understands one thing from another. Lachash also means secret. A person who is worthy that the secrets of Torah should be handed to him. Zesheroi Limsalo Divrei Torah, Shenitnu Balachash, he is worthy that Torah should be given to him, the kind of Torah that was said in secret. V'nosati Na'orim Sareim, Mai V'nosati Na'orim Sareim, Amara. Who are the Na'orim? It says that the Na'orim are the ones who are going to rule over the great. Who are the Na'orim? Elu b'nei Adam, these are people, Sheminum, Orim min ha-mitzos, that are empty of all mitzos. They have absolutely no relationship to Judaism or to Torah. Don't have a clue of what Torah requires of them. And therefore, of course, they have absolutely no sense of what a Kever Rachel is, or a Marat HaMachpelah, or a Kever Yosef. They don't have a clue. They don't relate to them at all, because they are empty of all Jewish content. The Talulim Yimshulbam, Amar Abba by Yaakov, Tali B'nei Tali, Faxes, the sons of faxes, Loniskarra Dato, and he became his mind came to rest when he said to them, Yidavu Anar B'Zokin Elu B'nei Adam, Sheminu Adam in our mitzvahs, Yirhabu Benui, Sheminula the mitzvahs, Kedimon, Vanikla, the Nikla, in other words, Nar. People empty of mitzvahs are the ones that are going to rule over those who are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. Vanikla the Nikbad, Yavo Misha Hamuros, Dom all of the Kalos, the Yirhu, the Misha Kalos, Domos, all of Pichamuros. Which means if I Nikla the Nikbad, the lightweight and the heavyweight. So the Gemara says, the lightweight is the person that even the most serious aspects of Torah are to him light. Shabbos is heavy stuff. And when Shabbos means nothing to you, that means, if you have to move a shtick machinery, you move it on Shabbos. El Al should fly on Shabbos. If Shabbos, the Nikla is the person who the heavy and serious parts of Torah he holds light. They're going to rule over Nirbad. Nirbad, the ones whom even the lighter aspects of Torah are heavy. They take them with all seriousness. With all seriousness. I don't have to make any... I don't have to say anymore. Anyway, they're going to be... the rest of the Gemara is going to be talking about psukim that come a little bit later here in Yeshayahu, so we'll wait till then, except maybe for the first line. Amar Avketina, Avketina said, Afilu b'shav kishlonah shel Yerushalayim lo pasku mehem balei amana. Even at the moment that Yerushalayim stumbled, there were still people who were trustworthy and men of faith in the city. Never reached a point that Yerushalayim was simply empty. Empty of people of greatness. There were people of greatness in the city. I think at least that's something. Like, let's go another few psukim. Ki yitfos ish v'achiv beit aviv. He says a man is going to grab hold of his brother in the house of his father and say to him, simlo lecha, you have a cloak. The cloak really either represents the fact that he has wealth, or he has position, or he's a respected individual. You know, sort of the cloak, clothing always represents, especially a simla represents a man with a flowing robe. And he's going to grab onto him and he's going to say, Katsinti Allah, will be an officer for us. Now, there will be such a dearth of leadership in the city that anybody that's going to have any kind of
clothes make the man.
Alright? We once talked, a number of times we talked about clothes. Yes? By Shmuel, it was a Mi'il. We'll talk about that. Joseph's robe. Kotzin tihielano. Be an officer for us. And this stumbling block will now be under your hands. What do they mean? Rashi explains, and we'll see it in the Gemara. That they will need people who will pass through shailas and people who will give advice. Machshela is something that you can stumble upon if you don't know what to do. They're going to turn to anybody who's going to seem as though he has some kind of substance to it, because they need leadership. People desperately need leadership. Yisa b'yomahu lemar. He will swear, he will lift his hand in oath on that day saying, Lo eheyeh chovesh. I am not going to be the one who is going to bind your wounds. Uvibeiti ein lechem vein simla make. No mistake, in my home I have no bread and I have no clothing. Lotus simuni kitsin om, don't make me an officer over the people. It may very well be that he's saying the truth, that people think that he has qualities of leadership. It may also be that, yes, he does have the qualities of leadership, but does anybody, who wants to go into politics? Who wants to go into positions of political leadership? Give me the moment you go into it, they cut you up into shreds. He says, no, I don't want to have anything to do with it. He kashlo now the Navi begins to sum up, Ki Koshla Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim has stumbled, the Yehuda Nafal, and Yehuda has fallen. Ki Lishonam, Umma'alaleim El Hashem, Lamrot Einetivodo, because their tongues and their deeds are El Hashem, against God, Lamrot Einetivodo, to rebel against the eyes of His honor, an absolute rejection of God. Hakaras Pinehem on Sabam. Hakaras Pinehem, the look upon their face on Sabam bears testimony about them. You can just take a look at them. You can just take a look at them and you can see the arrogance, you can see the rejection of everything that's holy. The Hatosam Kistone, he gave their sin, they say it like stone. Lo kichedu, they're not afraid. Nobody holds back. Nobody's embarrassed to say
what they believe in.
Yes, nobody's embarrassed to say, "Aye, it's absolute, traitorous and treacherous." Mamish, it's traitorous and treacherous. Yeah, well, let's finish. No, Jews can't live here. Jews can't live there. Oil and nafsham, woe to their souls. Ki gamlu lahem ra. They think that they're doing great things and they've really done evil to themselves. Forgive, you know, the rare moment at which I make a political comment. Don't they realize, I mean, this is very rare, so just say for the moment. Don't they realize that if the battle line won't be at Mitzadim and Kfar Darom, it's going to be in Ashkelon and Ashdod? They don't realize that they said it's going to be. And our people don't understand that the struggle over there, they are the front line. They're the front line. They're taking the brunt of what would otherwise be in the heartland of Eretz Yisrael. They don't understand. Oil and nafshon, that's why I say, woe to them, ki gomlu lehem ra, by attacking Mitzarim, by Jews who say, get them out of there, what are they doing there? Oh, what was it this morning? I couldn't read it. My wife told me that this David Newman wrote in the Jerusalem Post that what he's talking about, the children who are on the bus going to school, are like the Palestinian children who are out throw rocks. Understand? Huh? The mothers are the same. You understand? This is under the place of Chachamim that we have. It's unbelievable that we become a stupid people. Imru tzadik kito. Say it. Say to the tzaddik that what he's doing, that's good. Ki prima alaleihem, ki prima alaleihem yochelu, because the righteous are the ones who are going to eat the fruit of their deeds. Oile rasha ro, woe unto the rasha, for it will be evil. Ra, and Rashi beautifully says ra, he's ra la atzmo v'ra la achere. Not only that the Rosh is causing evil to somebody else, he doesn't understand that the worst evil he's perpetrating against himself. Oile Rosh Ra, ki gemul yadav, because the deeds of his hands, ye osela, will be done to him. He's ultimately going to get it back. Ami notes of ma'olel, my people, those who oppress them are ma'olel. And Rashi here says, what we now see is a recurring thing. Late Sonimhain, they're clowns. And the word Ma'olel over here comes from the word Asher Hit Alamti B'Nitzchayim. God says to Moshe at the beginning of Parshat Bo, you're going to see that Asher Hit Alamti B'Nitzchayim, I've taunted and made fun of them. Ami Notzav Ma'olel, the Noshin Mashlu Bo, don't ask me pshat. Of course, Rashi says, well, yeah. Remember, just about all of the ones who've been attacked up until now, are males. So don't get upset. When he says, the Noshim Mashlubo, Noshim Noapos Mashlubo, women of ill repute are the ones who rule over them. I mean, I can extend the idea of ill repute to a number of Nashim, but I will let them go nameless. Huh? Okay. Moshin Marshlubo. Yeah, all right. Shulamit Aloni. Yeah, El Dayan. Yuli Tamir. What's her name? Gila Baron. Okay, who else do you want? Ayala Hassan. Huh? What do you want? Tamar Bishansky. Okay, good. All right. Moshin Marshlubo. Ami Ma'ashrecha. Ma'ashrecha means those who should be leading you on the straight path. Ma'ashrecha comes from the word. Well, it could be, but it also means to step and to walk. Ami ma'ashrecha, those who should show you how to walk and which path to go into, mat'im, they are causing you to wander and to stumble. The derech orchotecha, the way of your path, bileu, they destroy, they've taken you along the wrong path. They've taken you along a path that's going to lead to destruction. Boy, this is taking a lot of out of me today. This is a very heavy parak, this parak. Nitzav l'riv Hashem, v'omeid l'din amim. God stands to contend with his enemies, and he stands ready to judge the nations. Hashem b'mishpat yofon zikne amo, the first one that God is going to come in justice, in judgment with, is in zikne Amo, the elders of his people, the Sarov, and his ministers. And Rashi points out very beautifully over here, and I think it's a little frightening also. When he deals with the elders, it may even be elders who are Shomrei Torah u'mitzvos and great Talmidei Chachamim. Rashi says, Shohoyo lahem limchot. There's a responsibility to object. There's a responsibility to cry out. There is a responsibility to speak up. And therefore, even the one who's a great Talmud Chacham, and all sorts of terrible things are going around him, but he continues to remain great Talmud Chacham, but he's silent. For that silence, he will be condemned before God. You have a responsibility to speak out. And instead of doing that, atem bi'artem hakedem, you have destroyed the vineyard. By remaining silent, you have destroyed the vineyard. Who's the vineyard? In order to know who the vineyard is, you're going to have to wait for the magnificent and majestic Perek Hei, the fifth Perek of Yeshayahu, where there's going to be the great song to the vineyard. The vineyard is the Jewish people. Gzeilas ha'oni b'bateichem. That which you've stolen from the poor, it's in your house. What does it mean, what you stole from the poor? You know what you stole from the poor? When you could have taught them Torah, when you could have advised them, and you didn't. So that's considered theft. Melochem tedaku ami. Why do you cause my people to be downtrodden? Why do you knock them down? Upnei amim titchonu, you grind the faces of the poor. Niyum Hashem alakim tzvah, says God, the God of hosts. And poor, by the way, it means anything you want it to mean. It may very well be Yishayahu talking about the responsibility of a society to take care of its poor and its indigent. I'm sure that Yeshayahu would get up today and he would find all sorts of areas where, well, the poor and the indigent and the underprivileged and the handicapped are not provided for, but billions of dollars go to pay off the debts of the kibbutzim. I'm sure that Yeshayahu would walk the streets of Yerushalayim and shout, right? Absolutely, he would shout it out. If you're not concerned with the poor, if you're not concerned, then obviously what you're doing is you are guilty. You are guilty of grinding them down. Tet Zayin begins a number of psukim that are just heavy. We will leave it in the